Chapter 9. Darrow. Angelia. The Fear Knight is a sadist. Unlike the vain goals of the Corps, he appreciates guerrilla warfare and its effect on armies. Though I met him only once in my days of service to Nero, I saw enough in him to know he put no stock in glory. When I squeezed his hand, eager to impress my strength on what then would have been a superior of stratospheric heights, he let his go limp. It embarrassed me. Little did I know then that the one plain-dressed man would someday skin, melt, castrate, rape, blind and mutilate my legionnaires by the thousands. Atlas's reputation was meager before the start of the Solar War. He was known primarily for three things: his patronage of the great library of Delphi, his inglorious position as a ward of the sovereign, and his abrupt disappearance, one that was clarified when he returned after the fall of Earth from nearly a decade of banishment, fighting threats at the edge of the system. Born after the failed First Moon Lord's Rebellion, he was raised on Io with his more famous brother, Romulus. When he turned 10, his parents said their farewells and sent him to Luna to live in the court of the sovereign as yet another noble hostage to ensure the Rim's obedience. Amongst the core goals, he was privileged and educated, yet derided for being the spawn of a traitor. It was there he met Atalantia, and there that Octavia made him an extension of her will, turning him against his traitor family and planting the seeds that would make him into the man behind the pale mask. Of all my enemies, I loathe him the most. We stand before his newest forest of corpses. Bodies hang impaled on vertical poles. There are more than 200, each with the Fear brand on their bare chests, a fleshy wound in the shape of a child's face ringed with hair of serpents. A grisly promenade strewn with Republic flags leads through the impaled bodies to Angelia. The white fabric of flags is tattered and fouled with boot prints and blood. It will be booby-trapped. I look at the bodies, at their faces. This is why I left Luna. Those glossy peacocks in the Senate read our reports. But the further you are away from it, the more war reads like arithmetic. And past that, it reads like fiction. Past that, it's just an annoying video on your info stream. How could they possibly imagine the anguish on the faces of the dead? How could the mob in the street demanding handouts ever know on a sensory level that when a human rots, it isn't just the skin that stinks, but the intestines, the stomach, the liver? How could they know that weird tremble of the soul when you realize there is no civilization? There's just a lock on a box, and inside the box is this. Virginia wanted me to reason with the senators. What common language would we speak, I wonder, when they have not seen inside the box, and I am its lock? It drives me fucking mad that they refuse to understand how sick and dogged and obsessed with our destruction our enemies are. Yet they live in a fantasy built on the bodies of my friends. The chatter of the carrion birds serrates the air, along with the cries of the dying. Of the impaled soldiers, many still live, writhing like worms on a hook. Our four obsidians stare up at the bodies and make a sign to their gods. The horror reaches deepest into the heart of Alexander and pulls him forward. "Arcos, heels down," I bark. He stops but turns to me, face ghostly vacant. "They're still alive. And they're all booby-trapped," I say, though he knows it. Rona swallows as she watches Alexander blink at the result of his error. Fall asleep in the Ladon, you wake up to this. I walk up to him. "We all carry weight. I need you to carry this. Can you?" The eyes of his grandfather blink back at me as the impaled cry for help. "Yes, sir." "Goodman." I turn back to the howlers. They stand in a ragged line. Colloway brings the necromancer in for fire support.
It's theatrics. He's buying time to distract us from his objective, I tell them. We can't help them.
Go to air, packs of three. Use your thermals and sensors to scan for traps. Walk fast but soft, and for Jove's sake, keep your chrome in. I need your eyes.
I designate the teams to search potential targets. Dust billows, as nearly 20 of howlers jolt upward over their writhing comrades to disperse through the city. I wait behind with Thraxa and Felix. I raise my voice so the impaled can hear me.
How many of you saw gorgons around your feet? Raise your right hand.
A sea of right hands. Some lie and keep theirs down. Could be a false positive. Atlas might have booby-trapped none of them. Or all of them.
You may be booby-trapped, I say. Medships are on the way. Hold out for them, and soon it'll be 6 weeks of pretty medici and ice frisee. We'll be back.
I cast a dour look to Thrax and Felix, and we lift off for the city's communication center. I shoot a hole in the bronze dome with my pulse fist, scan, and drop through to the marble floor. As sunlight washes in through the open door, we see them. Bodies strewn on the floor, ripped apart and chewed up. Heads caved in with all manner of improvised weapons. Bodies chewed upon as if by animals. Atlas didn't do this. They butchered one another. The features of the dead are mottled and monstrously warped by some pathogen. Gods, what did Atalantia's warlocks cook up now? They were collaborator civilians we relocated to Angelia, far from any military facility. Put them out of harm's way, I said. If Severa had been there, he would have laughed.
Where do you put a chicken shit officer if you need him to expire? He once asked me. Out of harm's way!
Pax was out of harm's way, too. You ever seen anything like this? I ask Thraxa. She shakes her head. Maybe he was testing a new bioweapon. There are easier ways. I bark at my medici to take a sample and evac to Necromancer for transmission. Central Command needs to know. I start to laugh as I realize the game. It's all to buy time. Puzzles and pain. I look around. The facts don't add up. What is he buying time for? We could get an airdrop and catch up to him, so it wasn't to extend his lead. Eleusis was ripe for the picking. How does this side trip change the board? Thunder peals to the north. My storm is slowly forming.
Hala One, Alexander says in my earcom. We've got something at the ore refinery.
Alexander, Rona, and several howlers are gathered in the control room of the city's ore refinery when Thraxa and I join them. Disabled spider mines and microwave bombs lie on a table. Marbles, our green slicer and clown's best friend, is jacked into the central computer's input port. A worn black hardwire runs from the computer's port to a small port on his right temple. His eyes roll back in his head as he travels through a virtual landscape. His fingers tap on the plastic chair. After a moment, he sighs. His dry lips smack together, and he reverts.
Some nasty foul dark pot,
he says in staccato silicon slang, skipping past the words that make sentences intelligible to us carbon bodies, so that it sounds like his mouth is full of marbles.
Rickety road, slip package, uranium dance, destinations easy as 011000001, 011000010, 011000011.
He stutters the numbers out like a garment needle. Alexander, translate. Quick with low and mid tongues, Alexander steps forward.
No, Marble says, holding up a bony finger.
The dark circles under his eyes war with his sunburn.
I do this time. See, boss, like this. Angelia, Dusty Ask Worktown. Systems all in a web. Redundancy protocol to keep hard grip. We cut web in rain. Didn't cut shadow web.
There are latent systems? Alexander asks, first to understand.
Old hard lines?
Hard lines.
Thraxa looks amused.
What dullard missed...
Quiet, I snap. Marbles, you telling me the mining cities are still connected?
Only some. Old system. Someone slagged it good. Missed shadow somehow. Stupid analog, most like. Hard lines under the pan.
So he sent a command to other mining cities via this console, I clarify.
Yeah.
What did he send? Thraxa asks.
Nulls. Dunno. Mad encryption. Got slices with Gorgons, right? Slick pricks.
He taps his head.
Give this silicon a week, plus 3 clicks for sleep, and I got your answer.
There's only one message worth sending to the other cities. My gut sinks.
Rona pieces it together.
Could they send signals to the other reactors? Give me diagnostics on the mine's reactor, Thraxa says.
Marbles turns to the computer just as I jerk the hardwire away from him. As soon as he checked the reactor, I've no doubt a neurological attack would fry his brain to jelly.
Trap after trap after trap.
He's going to overload this reactor and any connected by hardwire, I explain, and head for the door. It's going thermal.
Angelia doesn't matter, but the cities it's hardwire to will. Those reactors are what fuel our shield chain.
I open my general frequency.
All howlers, evacuate the city. Buddy flights if you don't got boots. Colloway, bring the necro for air hook.
By the time I make it out the door of the refinery, half the howlers are already airborne. Those with grav boots lock the magnetic buddy belts around their waists to the howlers without them. They take off. Rona and Thraxa are the last pair away. Alexander waits for me. I turn around so he can link the metal coupling at his waist to the one at my tailbone. The magnets snap together. He wraps his arms around my shoulders and pats my chest. I lift off hard from the ground, my gut wrenching as the boots thrust us up till we're free of the city. Overhead, Colloway is scooping howlers into his shuttle's open garage. Alexander and I land smoothly and decouple. I look down at the city and shout for Colloway to get us clear. The logic is sinister. That forest of bodies and biological weapons were meant to bring medical and science teams, to slow us down as we patched our wounded and scratched our heads, focusing on the small game instead of the grand stage. The first explosion at Angelia's nuclear power plant, caused by the meltdown of its reactor, is not like that of an atomic warhead. It stutters outward from the domed building, first as steam, then as fire, lifting the roof of the complex and engulfing the city in a rolling wave. Those impaled soldiers disappear in a cloud, their flesh melted from their bones by the steam, and the rest consumed by the slow rippling tide of fire.
I will see you in the Vale, brothers.
I patch into Central Command in Tyche. Panic creeps into the professional clip of officers as they report multiple reactor explosions around the waist of Ladon, stretching all the way to the Petassos Peninsula and the whole of the plains of Caduceus. 6 cities have lost power. More will follow in a chain reaction. Without power, the whole northern shield chain will fall. I wanted a window, but Atlas just kicked in the sky. Atalantia is coming.
Someone betrayed us, Thraxa growls.
Or Atalantia is smarter than her father.
How many generators will fall? I ask Thraxa. She stares at Marble's information readout and makes a mental calculation.
Too slow. I toss it to Alex.
He barely blinks before he has an answer.
It'll be everything north of Erebus, except Red Reach and Tyche. The domes are locally powered. They'll hold.
Heliopolis is safe, then. Still protected south of Erebus.
Which means the escape route through Tyche is viable if Tyche holds. But 6 million men will be cut off from the city by bombardment. How do I get them back?
By the Vale itself, someone whispers. The howlers watch in despair at the back of the shuttle as the translucent shield that protected us from the might of the Gold Armada flickers and then disappears, one panel at a time, until the whole northern sky is naked to the Armada above. My comm pings with incoming transmissions. Rona fields a call. Harnassus requests orders of retreat. Thraxa steps between me and the other aides fielding calls. Let him think. In her shadow, I watch the sky. Flashes in orbit. Friction trails scar the blue horizon. The first bombs begin to fall. The Vanguard legions will come soon after. Bloody, peerless cohorts in fast boots and star shells. Dropships packed with veteran grey shock troops. Obsidian slave knights stoked to mind-melting blood frenzy by the drugs of their masters. Tanks, titans, esoteric war machines. The full might of a militarized empire out for revenge. We are out of position. Our mobility will be frozen by bombardment. Legions and static defenses erased by atomics. Those who don't die will be hopelessly shattered and fragmented. Then Atalantia's forces will flank and encircle the marooned remains of my army before we can attempt a breakout. There is only one option, and it isn't retreat. Thraxa, she steps up to me. We must take the punch.
Can we?
Yes. Atalantia needs Mercury. She won't nuke the children cities. Red Reach and Tyche are independent of the shield chain. Their domes will hold. And soon, we'll have the storm. It will take hours for the... I started the engines 2 hours ago. She blinks in surprise. And the First Army? They won't make it to the cover of Red Reach. It comes out in a cold rattling of sentences. Then I'll bring them a shield. Atalantia will likely land south of Pan with at least a third of their army. She'll bottle up the children and take the cities one by one, trapping our garrisons. If we abandon the cities and mass the garrisons from the children at Kaidon, we can sally to Pan and make an oblique front. It won't hold, but if we hit them from behind with the Second Army out of Red Reach and drive them toward the sea, we can hurt her while the First Army clears a route to Tyche from the north. I grip her shoulder. Take all 6 star shells. Go to Kaidong and lead the tank legions.
You need the star shells.
You need them more. I'll find a skyhook. I look at the darkening sky. You'll have cover soon. Hold, and I'll gut them from the southwest. Then we haul ass to Tyche together. A double atomic burst will signal my coming. Go. Stalwart Thraxa, spine of the infantry, favorite of her father, knows I send her into the teeth of the enemy. She smiles at me nonetheless.
Hail, Reaper.
Hail, Telemannus. She rushes for the star shell spit tube, taking 5 of her golds.
Severo, call Harnassus.
I turn and find Rona at my shoulder instead of my trusted shadow. She looks like I've slapped her.
Rona, tell him to send reinforcements to Tyche via the loop.
I want every single reserve Ripper in the air and bound for the plains. Interdiction protocol. If they don't take out some of those missiles, we're done.
Go!
It will leave Heliopolis naked, but she isn't their target.
Alex!
He doesn't respond. His eyes are fixed on the bombs that already race down through the atmosphere. This is my fault, he will think. I actually do slap him. His eyes light up in anger.
Contact Ferranis. Tell her to expect heavy mechanized assault from the northwest, from landfall on the Talarian Peninsula.
She'll have to hold Tyche without the Morning Star.
I need Star and the Drakenjäger cohorts at...
I glance at the map. He intuits my purpose.
Sector 17.
I nod.
And call your cousin. Tell him to meet us at Skyhook 11. I'll ride with the Arcosians today.
He rushes to the communications room as I hail Orion. Her bright eyes are glazed. She's in the synaptic drift with the storm.
How are your storm pilots holding up?
Handling the flow. There have been spikes, but within range.
How long till electronic interference?
10 minutes.
Can you slow it to 20?
We will try. Must concentrate now.
I click out. The rest of the howlers haven't moved. They watch the friction trails, a sense of doom upon them.
You waiting for a formal invitation from the Fury? Asses to the armory, iron up!
Finally, they move.
I shout up the corridor to my pilot. Colloway, get me to my army!
The ship accelerates, nearly knocking me from my feet. Steadying myself, I take the comm off the wall and patch my signal into the powerful transmitters on Tyche to speak to my army while I still can.
This is Reaper. Broken sky. Repeat. Broken sky. The enemy has breached the northern shields. Missiles are already en route. Expect heavy bombardment of North Helios and comms blackout presently. Operation Voyager Cloak is cancelled. All officers, open your black packs. Keyword, Hazard Bedlam.
Across Helios, thousands of low-ranking officers, from infantry centurions to rip-wing squadron captains, will be opening metal canisters to receive briefings on Operation Tartarus and the conditions they will soon face.
Operation Tartarus is now live. Second Army, abandon your positions and rally at Red Reach. First Army and all other cloak units, rally at Sector 17. Cover is inbound. Third Army, hold in the children until the rain comes. Then rally to Kaidon. Legate Telemannus is on her way.
About to bark out a curt farewell, I pause, seeing that none of my howlers have moved. The roughest veterans of a generation stare at me, knowing all is lost. 8 million more are out there in the desert, mountains, coastal jungles, without shields. They need more than orders. I rasp into the comm.
Brothers and sisters, Atalantia has come for our lives. She thinks we wait looking at the sky for rescue, that fear has made a home in our hearts. She thinks we have forgotten ourselves, but I have not forgotten what we are. We fought in the ruins of Luna, on the plains and oceans of Earth, in the mountains and tunnels of Mars. Whatever soil we have stood upon, we have freed. We are not marooned refugees waiting for rescue. We are not prisoners waiting for chains. We are the free legions, and today we become the rock they break upon. All legions, prepare for rain.
Then the horizon stutters with white light, and the mushrooms grow.